Now we look at 2022. I want to tell my Republican friends, get ready, pal. You're going in for a problem.
The wires get crossed a lot there because his brain, she's a broke. She's a no good. She's a gotta go back. And he's the president of the United States. See him yesterday getting a little crass, isn't he? The old SOB, crotchety old fella. He really is like Abe Simpson, Grandpa Simpson. The media likes him, though, because they voted for him. And, you know, they'd look stupid if they told the truth about him. So they've decided they'd rather look stupid by, not telling the truth about him. They think fewer people will notice that way. I'm not sure that's true, but we'll find out, I guess. Turns out a whole lot of us don't want to vote for him, including Democrats. Great many Americans, 60%, in fact, in the latest survey. You know how important these surveys are, and they're polls. They're not just casual Q&A sessions or something. Very scientific. Like cloth masks, very scientific. A lot of science going on in the last couple of years. It's hard to keep up if you're not a scientific person because of all the science. Speaking of which, there's an update on Leah Thomas, who is scientifically a man, kind of Austin Powers style. But pay no attention to that. There is an update on that. Joe Biden calling Peter Ducey at the White House a son of a bee, but he didn't abbreviate it in any way. He's keeping it classy. Remember when early on, in fact, it was on Inauguration Day, that he said that if anybody, is mean to anybody in his administration, he's going to personally fire him immediately. So he's going to have to throw himself on the funeral pyre of his own vanities and fire himself, I guess, isn't he? He's going to have to fire himself, I think, probably anyway, if he's going to be intellectually consistent and honest. But that's never a prerequisite when you're a Democrat, of course. You know, I've been talking for years about how the Democrats are closer on the political spectrum to Lee Harvey Oswald than to John F. Kennedy. And that's true. I'm right about where John F. Kennedy was. And I don't think they're with me. It seems, based on the communications that I get anyway. And also that they're closer to Sirhan Sirhan on the political spectrum. They're pro-Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran and anti-Israel. The party is fundamentally anti-Israel. It's not just the squad, but the squad is virulently anti-Semitic. Numerous members of the so-called squad. Have you noticed there are no men in the squad? Why are there no men in the squad? It's like, girl power. They should have girl power signs or something. The squad is sexist, I think it seems to be. They're engaging in misandry. Misandry, not an oft-used word. But nevertheless, a good and valuable word. We've got an interesting article today on Free Sirhan Sirhan, because, they're on Sirhan's side. They're literally on Sirhan's side. It's the news media. And who is these people? It's The Atlantic or somebody. They're absolutely crazy. They're just not on the side of civilization anymore. If they ever were, they are the left after all. But Natalie Shure, I want to get to her. Shure is her last name. Crazy stuff. The Washington Post, they've got a columnist there that complains that the media is stuck in Biden is a failure mode. Well, that's because Biden is a failure. So that's why they find themselves reluctantly in that mode. And now they can't get out. It's like they've fallen into Biden is a failure mode and they can't get up. So we got that going on. And Joe Biden, speaking of fallen and can't get up, this boy's brain is a third-rate brain at best. Man, oh, Manischewitz. So we got that going. Yeah, they're saying it was a hot mic. I guess it was kind of a hot mic moment. But you see him, he looked really bitter and angry. He looked like he was going to murder somebody. Joe Biden is squinty-eyed and gritting his teeth, pulling his skinny little city lips back. And that's right, skinny little city lips. Not full, rich country lips, but skinny little city lips. And he was looking very bitter when he Peter Ducey asked a perfectly legitimate question, of course, naturally, because nobody else is there to ask perfectly legitimate questions. So it's all left to Peter Ducey. But there was the nice lady Fox reporter just a couple of weeks ago. Was it even 2 weeks ago that Joe Biden muttered under his crazy, demented breath, "That's a stupid question. He's like, you know, he's. You remember in what was that Trading Places when Dan Aykroyd was in the Santa suit, right, with a 45 caliber semi-automatic pistol and a salmon stuffed into his Santa coat. That's pretty much where Joe Biden is at this point. He's going to be wandering the streets yelling at city buses before long. If the guy weren't president of the United States, didn't have all this corrupt, you know, money, the ill-gotten gains of the Biden dynasty collecting from China and Russia and Ukraine and stuff, Joe Biden might be sleeping in a bus stop these days with his coat rolled up under his head. He is he's not entirely well. So that's a little thing. And what was the nice lady a couple of weeks ago, the Fox reporter? Oh, yeah, Jackie Heinrich. Of course, it was Jackie Heinrich. Who doesn't know that? Every school child knows that. So you got that because Joe Biden, he's not entirely mentally stable. Let's be honest, in the news media. Even Bill Maher, you know, the lefty Bill Maher with his multimillion dollar HBO show that not many people watch. They show it a lot, though. And he had Barry Weiss on. It's a woman, B-A-R-I. Barry Weiss, and she's become something of a truth teller. She used to be at the New York Times, so she wasn't allowed to tell the truth. And then she went to the Wall Street Journal to get a little bit of truth. And she went on the Bill Maher show, and she and Bill Maher were agreeing that this whole COVID thing has gone crazy, and we need to take our lives back there. You know, and the thing is, when you do that, it's a real danger for Democrats like Bill Maher, lefties like Bill Maher. If you come out and you tell the truth, like state what is obvious and everybody can see it, then you go from hero to zero in no time at all. You become the villain of the story. You're the bad guy. How dare you come out and tell the truth if it conflicts with the party line? You know, you got to toe the party line, and if you don't toe the party line. So the long knives are out once again for Bill Maher and for Barry Weiss because, you know, the misogyny, the sexism of the Democrat Party of Bill Clinton, and the list is too long to go into here. Harvey Weinstein. And where in the world is Matt Lauer, anyway? And the disgraced former governor of New York, of the Cuomo organized crime family, Andrew Gropey McGropeface Cuomo. Pretty amazing. Yeah, so we got that stuff going for you today. The Bill Maher stuff is kind of amusing, but it's honestly, they prohibit any indulgence in the obvious. If you, as a lefty, say what everybody knows to be true, but it conflicts with the party line, then you must be lynched. You know, you got to be burned at the stake, metaphorically, of course. But that's what they do. They're the lynch culture, the lynch mob. We are at 888-630-9625, absolutely toll free to you, our valued listeners, our brilliant and valued listeners. Yeah, so we got a little this and a little that going on with Joe Biden because he is not well. The Washington Post has a dim-witted typist from the DNC steno pool. Her name is Jennifer Rubin. I think at one point she was supposed to be a Republican or a conservative at the Washington Post, but that's you got to break out your slide rule to figure out how she is a conservative by any definition. But she's leaping to the defense of Lunchbucket Joe and his brain-damaged assault yesterday on Peter Ducey for asking an obvious question that any reporter worth their salt would ask, just as was the case last week, by the way, when another good question was asked of Lunchbucket Joe by another Fox News reporter, because who else would ask, you know? And honestly, the rest of our media should just have their White House passes pulled from them, since they're not really in the game. It's a fascinating thing to watch, this administration, as it comes unraveled before our very eyes. It's happening in real time. Kind of remarkable. We got the header of COVIDiots, which I think we were using before the term COVIDiots became popularized, but now it's been popularized and it's everywhere. An amazing story about the fraudsters. You see, they stole about $100 billion of Joe Biden, $100 billion. And the news media is like, you know, we're going to lunch. We don't care. You know, Joe Biden loses $100 billion taxpayer dollars to crooks because they're spreading the billions and billions around so quickly that nobody could keep track. And don't worry, though, they've recovered about $2 billion of the about $100 billion. Not a thing. A very important story out of New York, the New York State Supreme Court. One of the justices of the New York Supreme Court ruled against the state mask mandate. Very upsetting to the mandate crowd. In fact, there is an amazing story that I got today. My friend Tom sent me from Florida today. And in Florida, they investigated because a school teacher, a couple of school teachers, they taped a face mask to the face of a 7-year-old girl because the 7-year-old girl wouldn't sit there and comply, right? But it turns out that the little girl is a special needs 7-year-old girl in Brevard County, and the teachers forcibly restrained the little girl like it's the Chicago 7 trial and taped the mask to the 7-year-old girl, special needs girl, to her face. Fortunately, an investigation was launched, and to get to the bottom of what happened here. And the state attorney there, Phil Archer, on Monday, that's yesterday, back to the results of a police investigation that cleared two Brevard County teachers of charges of child abuse in the case of Sophia Bezerra. Sophia Bezerra, 7-year-old special needs student who came home from school with a mask tied to her face. Excuse me, yesterday was taped to the child's face. This was tied to her face, and she couldn't get it off. The review of the Indian Harbor Beach Police Department investigation was completed by Archer, the state attorney, and completed with his office. No finding of criminal wrongdoing, because you can tie the thing to the little 7-year-old girl's special needs face, and there are no consequences, because don't you know who's in charge here? Whatever government employee is present is in charge of the world, in charge of your child, in charge of your life. They can make decisions like whether you need to be vaccinated. I mean, any school teacher, rank and file, maybe the janitor, I think, in schools can probably dictate or mandate whether you are have to be vaccinated or have a mask tied to your face. I'd even tie a mask to a... Let's try that. Let's get some 7-year-old girls into the studio and see how you tie masks to their faces. I'd like to see the pictures of this thing going on. Pretty amazing stuff. Jim Acosta, remember him? He used to be at CNN, and now he's got his own show there, so everybody lost track of him because nobody watches any shows on CNN. Used to be when he was at the White House screaming and throwing bricks at the president and spitting mad all the time that he got a lot of attention because the White House, people pay attention to what goes on at the White House. Then he got promoted. I'm making quotation marks with my fingers. They gave him his own show, and now nobody knows he's alive. I guess he got the payday out of it, though, but nobody knows he's alive. Pretty amazing. Also an update, more emails released through Republicans in Congress, Democrats keeping them secret. Anthony Fauci emails that the experts were saying, oh, yeah, this is a lab leak. This is from February of 2020, almost 2 years ago, that Fauci and the gang were being told by the experts that the Wuhan lab leak was the most likely scenario and not some, a wet market with the Ozzy Osbourne table with the bat tacos or whatever it was they were claiming was the fake origin of this thing. But we've got an update on that because, the Democrats, they're a pesky bunch. Pretty amazing. Black Lives Matter complains. There was a police officer, I mentioned it, shot and wounded in Washington, D.C. night before last, and two police officers murdered over the weekend by Democrats. Not a single MAGA hat-wearing white supremacist to be found. So I guess the FBI can't unleash their counterterrorism forces on the... But Black Lives Matter was spitting at the whole thing. Oh, yeah, sure, cops are treated as heroes in their tear-jerker press conferences. But they're not the terrorist group with hundreds, if not thousands, of riot, dozens killed, thousands of police injured, billions in damage. The FBI is not looking into them, though, because they're righteous, dude. It's reparations, man. By the way, Democrats continue to kill children across the country. In Atlanta, a 6-month-old baby was shot and killed. Stray bullet in the car. Probably white supremacists, maybe the FBI should go after the peeps. And my favorite headline of the day yesterday, coming up, Sirhan Sirhan's continued imprisonment flies in the face of RFK's ideals. Well, his ideals are no longer available because Sirhan shot him in the head with a gun and killed him. And now the Democrats, they're closer on the political spectrum to Sirhan than they are to RF Kennedy. You know, he was anti-communist and pro-capitalist, RFK. Yeah, and they make up a lot of lies about him in this story, too. We're at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Are you in the market for a new mortgage or looking to take cash out of your existing home? You need someone you can trust. And I trust my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial, the only mortgage company that I recommend. Visit them online at cornerstonefirst.com.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Where is our HHS secretary, Javier Becerra? Where's our transportation secretary, Pete Buttigieg? We've got a health crisis and a transportation crisis, the likes of which the country has never seen. And our health secretary and our transportation secretary are apparently on paternity leave together in the islands or something. It's pretty crazy. It's good to be a Democrat. That's one of the reasons I like to say that, because it's true. All right, let's go to the telephone. Where do you hear this Sirhan story? And you know, John Hinckley's forming a band. I think Democrats are lining up to join because a lot of them are very unwell, as you may be aware. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to John calling from Damascus, Syria. John, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
John. First, I got to say, I love the show. It's very entertaining.
Thank you. Thank you very
much. My question to you is this.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, liberals say that it's racist to ask for identification to vote because that clearly discriminates against people of color. But when I go to get myself a cheeseburger yesterday, why is it that Muriel Bowser goes and places a mandate that you need identification? You need a vaccination card. I think you even need fingerprints now to get yourself a cheeseburger at restaurants there. How is it racist in one case but not in the other?
There is an old saying that perhaps you've heard before, John. Do you know where I'm going with this? Were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. Of course, by their own standard, it's terribly racist. And in fact, in America and in Washington, D.C., the most unvaccinated category of person is the African-American person in Washington, D.C. So you're more likely to be unvaccinated if you're African-American in Washington, D.C., yet you have to show proof of vaccination, a vaccination card, in order to get into restaurants, as you said, to buy a burger, to go in and have a beer with your friends, to act like a normal person. So that is obviously racist, given the statistics. And then, according to Democrats, it's racist, as you pointed out, to have to show an ID on Election Day because Democrats believe that black people don't have IDs. Except, you know, now you got to show an ID with your Vax card because, look, it's the party of the Confederacy. What do you want?
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Yes. Yeah, Lunch Bucket Joe being being rude and grumpy and Grandpa Simpson again yesterday. The media, they you know, they smoothed it over for him. It's not a problem. It's not like he's Trump or something and he's got to be condemned for things like that. Now, President Trump talked some smack with these fake reporters, but they weren't fluffers for him. They were rock throwers, bomb throwers, Molotov cocktail. They pretended and everything was terrible under Trump and everything's wonderful under Biden because they're fundamentally corrupt people as individuals, and then they form pods, and then they're groups of corrupt and dishonest people. Now, there is a The New Republic is a left-wing publication, like so many, and they have a typist there. One of the girls from the DNC steno pool is Natalie Shure, S-H-U-R-E, Natalie Shure. Not sure what Natalie Shure's gender is there. Oh, yeah, and that's true. Randy's saying we were just talking about double standards with John. And it's true, we have double standards. We have, were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. We have coffee mugs and pint glasses for your beers, for ice-cold beers. They're nice glass pint glasses with the show logo and the, you know, were it not for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. It's great. It's a great gift for your liberal friends, too. They like that. They have a great sense of humor about being ribbed. Ribbed. Not like Rand Paul was ribbed by his next-door neighbor, but, you know, just joked about. They love being mocked because Saul Alinsky recommends that, you know. And we have also right now, speaking of which, I'm wearing my Remember Normal T-shirt. See this? So I'm wearing my, it's Remember Normal across the chest, little show logo on the sleeve. Yeah, Remember Normal. And don't forget, I survived the Wuhan Red Death because more and more of us are in a position to legitimately wear that T-shirt or have that coffee mug. You know, we got good stuff, hats. I survived the Wuhan Red Death. But speaking of not surviving the Wuhan Red Death, let's go to Sirhan Sirhan, who is, of course, the political assassin that shot Robert F. Kennedy in the head, the senior, not the one that was on the mall at the Lincoln Memorial the other day talking about vaccines. But his father was naturally shot in the head and murdered in Los Angeles, California in 1968. He had just won the California primary. He was running for president. And Sirhan Sirhan was angry with Robert F. Kennedy and the Democrats because he is a Palestinian, Sirhan Sirhan. He still is. He's alive and well in a prison cell in California. But he made parole. And you know, he was angry that the America didn't support the Palestinians. He's a Christian Palestinian. He's not a Muslim, but he's a Christian Palestinian. He shot Bobby Kennedy, shot several other people that day, that night as well. It was almost midnight. And Bobby Kennedy, I believe he was shot in the head on June 5th, and then technically he died on June 6th. I think that's right, isn't that right? In 1968, the Ambassador Hotel, Los Angeles, California. Sirhan Sirhan, political assassin, captured alive, you know, no Jack Ruby to shoot him, put on trial and sentenced to first to death, but it's California. Yeah, they love murderers and political assassins and stuff. So over time, they relieved him of the burden of having to worry about the death penalty and gave him life in prison. And then they said, life in prison's too harsh. Let's make it something less. Let's offer him parole. And just last year, the parole board in California granted him parole. But the Democrat governor, you know, the guy from the magazine ad, he is he's not letting Sirhan Sirhan out of prison. And it's unclear why, but here comes the New Republic left-wing rag and Natalie Shure with the headline, Sirhan Sirhan's continued imprisonment flies in the face of Robert F. Kennedy's ideals. And Sirhan Sirhan's bullets flew in the face of Robert F. Kennedy and his ideals, too. Gavin Newsom's refusal to let Kennedy's 77-year-old killer die at home. He's got a home? What is it, in California? It's kind of expensive for a guy who's been in prison for 50 years to have a home. To die at home after a half century behind bars is nothing more than a cynical political stunt. That's like this article, I guess. Last week, Gavin Newsom made a callous decision. Callous decision, political assassin, that deserved far more backlash than it received. The California governor determined that 77-year-old inmate Sirhan Sirhan, who's been incarcerated for the 1968 assassination of Robert F. Kennedy, for over half a century, in case you're math challenged, has still not yet been locked up long enough. See, that's he hasn't been locked up for long enough. After decades in prison, he has failed to address the deficiencies that led him to assassinate Senator Kennedy, the gubernator wrote. And here comes this woman, Natalie. Sure, she's irate about this. She really wants Sirhan to be walking the streets. She'll probably buy him a 1968 Mustang convertible to commemorate the event or something. Newsom's decree rejected the assessment of the state parole board, Democrats, you know, which recommended Sirhan's release after a lengthy evaluation by designated clinicians. That they're designated clinicians. Well, we've got to listen to the designated clinicians. Determined that he no longer posed a threat to society. That's not really the only metric for keeping someone in prison. But a parade of self-important boomers disagreed. I guess she's not a baby boomer, this dim-witted typist from the steno pool. Whipping themselves into a froth about how Sirhan should rot. See, this is, she's very upset. She thinks that he should be let. But make no mistake, the call Newsom made was not in service of justice. You know, they love justice. And political assassins. And crazy, radical Middle Eastern murderers. They love, these are categories of people that they love. And it certainly wasn't a lofty affirmation of democratic ideals. Now, Natalie's in charge of that. It was a cynical way for an elected official to shake low-hanging fruit from the tough-on-crime tree. Well, that's the book on Gavin Newsom and the Democrats in California. Or the tough-on-crime bunch, that's what they're all about. And pander directly to rich, aging voters. Rich, aging voters. Now she's an ageist. She's a classist. She's a lunatic. This is a mental case, this woman, whose sole interest in Sirhan dying in prison is based in gauzy nostalgia for a political moment they've long since betrayed. You see, the liberals have long since betrayed the ideals. Now, again, Bobby Kennedy was a right-winger by today's Democrat Party standards. He was a lawyer for Senator Joe McCarthy, Tail Gunner Joe, on the anti-communist hearings and so on. And you can find the films. I think the family's tried to erase all of it, but you can still find some. Bobby Kennedy counseling Republican Senator McCarthy, the anti-communist senator, who was right about almost everything in the communist era here in the United States and the State Department and everything else. Sirhan's ghastly crime famously took place after Bobby Kennedy had won the California Democratic primary election, a victory that likely would have catapulted him to front-runner status in 1968 at the Democratic convention. Really not necessarily true, truth be told. With a platform emphasizing civil rights, anti-poverty, and ending the Vietnam War, Kennedy seemed poised to cobble together a coalition not unlike Barack Obama's. No, that's very much unlike. And by the way, it was his brother, John F. Kennedy, who was shot in the head and killed by a communist, by the way, which you guys are pretty close to today. That, he was shot that got us into the Vietnam War. It was John F. and then LBJ. And Bobby Kennedy wasn't getting us out of the Vietnam War. Richard Nixon was elected in large part to get us out of yet another Democrat war. You know, the Civil War, World War One, World War Two. Honestly, please. Jefferson Davis, Woodrow Wilson, RFK, FDR, and so many Democrats. And then LBJ, they liked the three initial thing in the Democrat Party. We don't do that so much in the Republican Party. But this is, crazy. And she said, uniting young, progressive, white professionals and African-Americans. And by the way, it was Bobby Kennedy as attorney general that worked with J. Edgar Hoover to spy on Martin Luther King and undermine the civil rights movement while Democrats were losing dogs and fire hoses on civil rights marchers. And Democrats were standing in schoolhouse doors. But never mind that. In any event, The Democrats and the New Republic and this half-witted woman who typed up this piece for the left-wing New Republic, Natalie Shure, very upset that Sirhan, and look, the Democrat, the parole board said, okay, he can go. And the Democrat gubernator has said, no, you can't go. So I understand the city, the silly left being upset about it, because they're pro-assassin, they're pro-crime, they're pro-criminal, they're anti-law and order, they're anti-civilization, really. They're the hardcore left. Just amazing. Also, speaking of would-be presidential assassins, and John Hinckley, who they let out also, and he shouldn't have been let out at all. He shot President Ronald Reagan, of course, his first year in office. He shot the press secretary, James Brady, in the head, disabled for life, died early because of the gunshot wound to his head. Should have been called murder even long after the fact. He shot a D.C. police officer, Thomas Delahanty, who died a few years ago. He shot a U.S. Secret Service agent, Tim McCarthy. And now, the headline last week, and I shared it with you last week, is John Hinckley is starting a band. He's starting a band to make music, because he's very musical, apparently. We didn't know that. And attempted Reagan assassin John Hinckley is starting a band, the headline. You can be in John Hinckley Jr.'s band. These are literal headlines from just a few days ago. He's walking free in Virginia, down by, where is he? He's south of D.C. in Virginia. Man who shot Reagan is trying to start a band, and he posted on Twitter, because he's not barred from Twitter, blocked from Twitter. President Trump is, but John Hinckley is not. President Trump is, but the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei is not, genocidal maniac that he is. Funded by, the Obama-Biden administration. But paying no attention to that. Yeah, he's starting a band, and he posted a thing on Twitter with a picture of himself with a guitar sitting on his leg, and it says in big letters, John Hinckley on his guitar, and he's calling out for people that play instruments, and I have no doubt that Democrats are lining up to join in the John Hinckley Madman of Music tour, as Michael Piercy said earlier today, the band name The Killers is already taken, so that could be a problem. All right, let's go to some Lunch Bucket Joe, because Lunch Bucket Joe is, his brain is, as you know, very seriously broken. He's mentally disabled, intellectually disabled, and really, to use the word intellectually there is a little generous. But let's go to soundbite number one, because what was it, a week and a half ago or so, Jackie Heinrich at the Fox News Channel, young woman covering the White House, asked Joe Biden a very pertinent question, and Joe Biden snapped at her and said, it's a stupid question, like a bitter, crazy old man.
Why are you waiting on Putin to make the first move, sir?
Are you waiting on Putin to make the first move, sir? Very good question. The drums of war are beating again in Washington, D.C. Joe Biden is from the generation of warmongering politicians. And, again, Democrat presidents, Jefferson Davis, Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and then John F. Kennedy and LBJ getting us into Vietnam. And then Harry Truman got us into the Korean War. Let's not forget that. So we've got Democrat presidents for the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War. Other than that, they've got a pretty good record being peaceniks. And the drums of war are beating again in Washington. So after insulting Jackie Heinrich for asking an intelligent question, a serious question, a question that is now being asked everywhere, stupid question, stupid, and then he threw a stapler at her. He didn't really. I just made that part up. But Hillary would. Hillary would throw stuff at anybody, especially a pretty girl, because she's very resentful. Peter Doocy yesterday, we beeped it for you, even though it's the President of the United States. We don't have to, but we like to, keep it a family show, keep it a polite show. So here's the dim-witted president and Peter Doocy, the only reporter asking questions at the White House for more than a year now.
What do you think, President Biden?
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a...
The question was a perfectly legit question to ask about inflation, which is a giant issue on everyone's mind. And he asked, is inflation a political liability? What a stupid question. No, it's an asset. He's grumbling like an old man on a park bench. strangers walking by making too much noise. He said, "You're a stupid son of a beep." We had to beep him even though he's the president of the United States. And technically, you don't really have to because the president, as I understand the rules, because the president said it. But he asked a legit question. You know, is the inflation rate a political liability? What with the midterms? No. He's grumbling. He's got food on his chin, applesauce or something, baby food. And he says, no, it's an asset. You stupid. And S of a B and you... grumpy boy. Then the media weighed in on it. That's coming up, too.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian, and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
What a stupid son of a...
Yeah, I think that was Dan Aykroyd. Growling in his Santa suit with a salmon and a pistol. Also, Joe Biden, the drums of war in Ukraine, and the media attacking Tucker Carlson because he's not pro-war enough, I think. And I want to get to that. Tucker Carlson, terrible person in the media. Being attacked by the media for raising questions about, possible war in Europe. How dare he? All right, Peter Ducey, he got a phone call from Lunch Bucket Joe, but let's go to soundbite number three. Peter Ducey appeared on the TV show The Five to talk about the president calling him a son of a bee.
There was a group of reporters that were all gathered. We listened to him explain the Competition Council, which is the reason that he's having this meeting with most of the cabinet, and somebody shouted out a question about Russia, and the president said, "I'm not going to take questions right now about anything off topic." So I shouted out something that's not on my two pages of questions about crime. Okay, what about inflation? Do you think inflation is a political liability in the midterms? And then he said that, and I couldn't even hear him because people were shouting at us to get out.
Because they're shouting at him to get out, not because reporters were shouting. Peter Ducey.
Somebody came up to me in the briefing room a few minutes later and said, "Did you hear what the president said?" And I said, "No, what?" They said, "He called you a stupid SOB." And I said, "Did he say SOB?" And the person said, "No."
Didn't abbreviate it. On the Five with Jesse Waters, funny guy.
Ducey, I think the president's right. You are a stupid SOB.
Yeah, getting a little love. Nobody's fact-checked him yet and said it's not true.
No one's given Pinocchio's for that one.
Hasn't been fact-checked. No, Pinocchio's for calling him a... he then appeared, Peter Ducey, on the Sean Hannity program on the Fox News Channel.
After years of clips of the president and I kind of mixing it up on the campaign trail and during the transition and here at the White House, within about an hour of that exchange, he called my cell phone and he said, "It's nothing personal, pal."
Nothing, you know, the press office has the cell phone numbers for the reporters covering the White House because they give them their phone numbers. Sean Hannity.
And we went back and forth, and we were talking about just kind of moving forward. And I made sure to tell him that I'm always going to try to ask something different than what everybody else is asking. And he said, "You've got to." And that's a quote from the president, so I'll keep doing it.
Yeah, and, nothing personal, Bal, because, you know, he called him pal on the phone call. But as we know, he likes to say Bal because he's not good with words or the English language or any of that stuff. That's our president. He's the president of the United States. You know, like the flags set on the mall on Saturday, beep Joe Biden and beep you too if you voted for him. That's what they said. There he is. Thank you for tuning into another episode of The Chris Plant Show, and thank you to my friends at Cornerstone First for their support. If you're thinking about buying a new home or looking to refinance, visit them online today and see what they can do for you. They're the only mortgage lender I trust. Visit them online at cornerstonefirst.com.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.